Appreciate the message we've heard. I want to focus on our Father in heaven. Appreciate all that Brother Kenneth has brought before us this morning. Good teaching. Desperately needed in our day, isn't it? And so we're thankful for that. I've turned to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. It's a passage in the Old Testament where God speaks of his ability. Oftentimes we're reminded of our inability. And one of the best things I know to encourage us in those times when we feel our inability, and I tell you, when I look back over my days and my efforts as a father, I see that I've come short in a lot of ways. Sometimes I need some encouragement. And when I can look to my Heavenly Father, and when I can see his ability, then it encourages me to press on. And whatever the situation in life, there are a lot of ways that we can be faced with our limitations and our inabilities. And one of the best things I know, as I've already said, to encourage us is to turn to the Lord. You know, Colossians 3 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And one of the quickest ways I know to get discouraged in this life is to look at what's going on in this world and all the things that you don't have any control over. And if you keep being bombarded with those kinds of things, it'll get you down. Well, Scripture says, set your affection on things above, on the Lord, his power, his glory, his love, his mercy, his provisions, his security, all that we have in the Lord. I tell you, that's what lifts up my heart, and I hope it will yours. And it'll help us and encourage us to do those things that Brother Kenneth has been preaching to us about, to be a better example. And so our batteries of faith needs to be constantly recharged with the love that God has for us and how we're to then reflect that. You know, my batteries get low sometimes. How about yours? And we need to be recharged. Okay, so I hope you found Isaiah 46 by now. In verse 9, he says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Can we say amen to that? All right. Declaring the end from the beginning. Now, he's not saying that he's declared everything that's all ever going to happen. He didn't map it out. He's not making it all happen. But what he is saying is he knows how it's going to end up because he's declared it. He's declared it. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Now, does that give you some confidence in your Lord, in your Heavenly Father? He knows what he's doing. He's able to do it, and nothing is going to stop him. You know, that's one thing Nebuchadnezzar found out, wasn't it? You know, I can see how that man could have gotten lifted up in pride. You know, when he was the ruler of the known world at that time, and anything he said, you had to do it. Because he had folks to back him up. You know? But Nebuchadnezzar found out that he worketh his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of men, and none could stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? That's my God. That's your God. He's able. All right? So, understanding then that he do it, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Now, that is a truth that we can hold on to, that we can be encouraged by it, because it's never going to change. No matter what happens in this world, no matter how it might look like that men have taken over or whatever, no matter what, God is still on his throne. And we can rest in him. All right? But all the while, Satan is trying to thwart the purpose of God. And I want to take a few minutes to go through some of the Old Testament passages. Maybe you can get into the new some as well. To remind you, all right, not to scare you, but to remind you that God prevails. Amen. Just like Brother Kenneth said about the book of Revelation, God wins. Jesus wins. No matter what, how bad all the kings of the earth gather together against him, he prevails. He has prevailed, and he always will. All right? So think about in the Garden of Eden. Now, what I said was Satan has used, and he's still using people to try to thwart God in his purpose. Okay? When you look at what happened in the Garden of Eden, when Satan beguiled Eve and they ate of the fruit, you know, and I'm just going to kind of give you the summary of this. You know the stories, I hope. But when Satan was talking to Eve, and Eve rehearsed, well, Satan's, or the serpent said, "Yea, hath God said." You know, he was questioning God's word. And you know what? He is still doing that today. There's all kinds of ways that we can see in the world how that God's word is being challenged. God's word is being rejected. God's word, they're trying to change it. They're never going to change the truth, but they're changing what's being said. Okay? So there's all kinds of that going on. Satan's tactics haven't changed a bit. All right? So he came to Eve, said, "Hey, yea, hath God said," and she correctly rehearsed what God said that they were to do, the commandment that God had given to them. And then Satan began to refute it. "Ye shall not surely die." And in my own words, God's holding out on you. You could have something better. Right? See what Satan's trying to do? All right? Now, he beguiled Eve. And so she did partake of the fruit. She listened to Satan instead of God. Man fell in trespasses and sins. You know, she ate, Adam ate, and they fell in trespasses and sins. Well, did that overthrow God's purpose? I mean, he made man good. He was innocent, but then he fell into sin. No, the Bible teaches us, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and 4, that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Before man sinned, before he even created man, God had already made a way of saving his people from their sins. Salvation's plan was already set. God purposed what he would do through his Son before he even made the world. All right? So we find then that Satan has tried. He tried with the first ones that God created in the Garden of Eden. And you just keep reading in the scriptures, you'll find you'll come to the time when God's people were down in Egypt, and God had promised that he would bring them out. Okay? Even though they were in Egypt for 400 years, right? But before they went there, God had told Abraham, by the way, before Abraham even had any seed, he told Abraham, "Thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that's not theirs for 400 years. God was telling them the future about what was going to happen. But then after that time, he was going to bring them out. So when the time came and when he sent Moses down there to Pharaoh and he told Pharaoh that God said, let my people go. What did Pharaoh do? I know not the Lord, neither will I obey his voice. See, not only was Pharaoh denying or rejecting the word of the Lord, he was placing himself in the position of God. He felt like he was God. So why should he listen to anybody else? All right, so you find here, there was one that was put himself in the place, or, you know, the Egyptians felt like that. Oh, that's what they believed, that their Pharaoh was God. Okay? All right. So you find that Pharaoh was in that position. All right? Then you come down to the book of Daniel, and you find the man that I mentioned earlier, Nebuchadnezzar, the king. All right? When he issued a decree that everybody should bow down at the sound of the music, and worship the golden image. There were three Hebrew children that wouldn't. You ever feel that way sometimes in this world? If the world's trying to get you to bow down to something or do something, you know it's not right. You know it's not according to thus saith the Lord. But sometimes you wonder, what am I going to do? Well, how about what the three Hebrew children did? You know, and the apostles in the New Testament, you find that the apostles was at a time when they were commanded not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. You know, and there are local ordinances on the books of some cities in our country today that absolutely prohibit a man preaching on some of the things that the Bible says in the way the Bible says it, and they've labeled it hate speech. And it may get worse. You know, who knows? But what the apostle says is we ought to obey God rather than man. And that's exactly what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, right? And so Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage, when they would not bow down to him, he said, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Well, he found out, didn't he? All right? God showed him. Because not only did they cast in those three into the fiery furnace, there was a fourth one there. And Nebuchadnezzar said, did we not cast in three? Lo, I see four. And the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Bless your hearts, when God's people were trusting him, and those three on that occasion, when they stood up to Nebuchadnezzar, and they would not bow down, they would not do what the local ordinance told them to do, bless your heart, God defended his people. So as we think about, Satan has been busily at work, trying to work through people in this world, trying to thwart the purposes of God, and we can just keep going right on through the scriptures. Not only with Nebuchadnezzar, but even a king over Judah, toward the end of the time, just before they were carried away into captivity, King Jehoiakim, remember him? There was a time when Jeremiah, the Lord had told him to write the prophecy, and so the scribe there was writing down what Jeremiah was giving him to write. And then they took those writings and they began to read it to some of the leaders of the people. And the people said, we've got to get this to the king. They were affected by it. They were bothered by the fact that God said he was going to judge the people, and so they took it to the king. Do you remember what King Jehoiakim did? Was he affected the same way by that? No, I'm leaving out a lot of details now. But when they brought this to the king took it and cut the scrolls and threw it in the fire. He rejected the word of God. He rejected what God said through the prophet Jeremiah. Remember what God did? God had Jeremiah write it again. And so even though man and Satan working through men, trying to thwart the purpose of God, God had Jeremiah write it again. And this time, when he wrote it down, he gave us the record of what King Jehoiakim did. God is not going to be thwarted by Satan. He's not going to allow men to thwart his purposes. And so we find that not only those that we've mentioned here, but just keep going through the scriptures real quickly for just another minute or so. We find here that when Jesus was born, when the Lord, when that one that God had purposed from before the foundation of the world to send into this world to save us from our sins, when it came time for him to be born, and the wise men came and said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" And they were upset. And Herod, King Herod, told them, "You go find him and come back and tell me where it is so I can go worship him." Did Herod have any interest in worshiping Jesus? No, what we find is when the wise men were warned of God and they went home another way, and Herod realized that he was mocked, he had all the children, the babies, 2 years old and younger, put to death. That doesn't sound like the result of somebody wanting to go worship a baby to me. You see who's involved in that? You see how Satan was working, trying his best to destroy the purpose of God? Bless your hearts. In all of these things, we find that God's purpose will stand. And I've probably taken more time than I needed to illustrate some of those points, but I wanted to stir your mind. I wanted to remind you of how that God has intervened over time and blessed his purposes to stand, because that's what he said he was going to do, right? He says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." And so as he had spoken through the prophets of how he would send his son, how that Isaiah had said that he would be born of a virgin, how that he would be Emmanuel, God with us. Bless your hearts, as we see how that God had purposed and said through all the prophets what he would do, we find that it unfolded just exactly the way God said it would. Does that give you some encouragement? Does that help you when you remember how great our God is? How that nothing is going to get past our Lord. He's going to accomplish what he purposes to do. But you know, those were Old Testament times. Or those are old Bible times. And that's been a long time ago. Is Satan still working in folks' lives today? Is he still trying to hinder us today? Let's notice a few more examples real quick. Sometimes the old devil gets into some of the people in the church. You know? Can you imagine that happening? That Satan would stir up somebody in the church? Well, you know, when Jesus gave us those parables in Matthew 13, one of those parables was, we refer to it as the tares and the wheat. All right? And the wheat, obviously, was the good seed that when Jesus gave the interpretation of that parable, he said that, you know, the Son of God sowed the good seed. All right? That's his people. Okay? But then when they found the tares in there, his interpretation was that the wicked one had sown those. All right? So here's my point. Don't start looking at your neighbor and pointing and wondering about them. My point is, we always need to be mindful that Satan can be at work. And as long as we're focused on serving the Lord, as long as we're focused on humbling ourselves before him and doing what's pleasing in his sight, and bless your hearts, that's the best we can do. And that's what's pleasing to the Lord, and that's what will help the Lord, help us to serve the Lord the best we can. All right? All right? So I don't want to spend a lot of time on that one, but you go read that in Matthew 13, and you'll find that he speaks about how that the wicked one had sown those tares. All right? But you also find in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, you'll find that there was when many were coming to the Lord, and there was great rejoicing, and the Lord was adding many to the church, and it had to have been a glorious time when many, many people were coming into the church. And there were some that had houses and land, and they sold those things, and they brought the money and laid it at the feet of the disciples. A great thing to do, so that they could help out with the growing expense. I mean, the Jerusalem church was a large church. When you start adding thousands of people in one day, you know, it was very easily over 10,000 members. A lot of widows, a lot of needs, a lot of things for them to do. Well, this couple, Acts chapter 5, go read it sometime, Ananias and Sapphira, they had some land. Evidently, they liked the recognition that some of these folks was getting. So they decided they would sell this land and give it to the church. Except that wasn't exactly the whole story. They conspired between themselves to hold back some of the money that they would get from the property. By the way, if you look at that word where it talks about they held back some of it, if you look at the definition of that word, you'll find in there the word embezzle. Embezzled. In other words, they held back some of it, but they gave the idea that this is what we sold it for, and so they were giving it to the church. Well, the Lord had blessed Peter with a great spirit of discernment. And now I'm going to have to turn to this. I may not quote it just right. Acts chapter 5. Now, somebody might say, well, now that was just their selfishness. That was just their covetousness. That was the devil at work. Oh, really? Let's read what Peter said about this by the inspiration of the Spirit. Okay? All right. Ananias and Sapphira, they sold a possession. Acts 5, verse 2, and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? He went on to describe then, you know, it was yours, you could do whatever you wanted it to. But the problem was they made it look like they sold it and gave it all to the Lord. My point is, Satan can work in the hearts of a lot of people. We got to be careful. Okay? Paul told us to the church at Corinth that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And this word of God is faithful to tell us some of these things that we need to be aware of so that we can just be mindful of it. Okay? That Satan can work in that way. So he's used a lot of people down through the Old Testament days. Even in the New Testament church, we have examples where Satan was working in that. But it's not going to thwart the purpose of God. It can sure cause a disturbance. It can sure destroy some of that peace that Brother Kenneth was talking about. It can have those kinds of temporary effects, but it's not going to thwart the purpose of God. Amen. And so we need to do the best we can in trying to stay close to the Lord. All right. Not only can he work in people in the church, sometimes he can get to ministers. And what a great discouragement that is when a faithful man of God gets caught up in something and falls. Remember Judas, one of the 12? evidently he felt like, well, he could do this, and they don't have any power over Jesus anyway, so he felt like he could get away with this, and the Lord would just overpower them anyway. But then when he saw that Jesus was arrested and condemned to die, he realized, it's not what I planned. He tried to return the money, the 30 pieces of silver. What would he have bought with that 30 pieces? Was that worth, how much was that worth, really, for him to do something like that for 30 pieces of silver? I don't know what he would have planned to use it for, but I know what it was used for. They purchased a place to bury, it was called the Field of Blood, because the money that was used was the price of that was given for Jesus. Judas had to go out and hang himself. But you see how he was one of the 12. What a warning that is to us in the ministry. Be careful. Be careful. In Acts chapter 9, there was a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. Oh, he was going about breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He tried. That one man, Saul of Tarsus, did more in his day to try to destroy the church and anybody else that lived at that time. And the Lord struck him down. And the Lord turned him around. And the Lord gave him a new name, the Apostle Paul. You know, how many people do you think in that day were expecting someday for Saul of Tarsus to be preaching the gospel? Isn't our God great? I mean, you know, people were afraid. Even at the preacher Ananias that was sent to baptize Paul, Saul of Tarsus, the Lord told him what he was to do, and even that preacher said, "Lord, I've heard of this man." You know? But what Ananias didn't know at that time is that the Lord had changed him. The Lord had called him to a work and had changed his heart. I'm going to tell you something. Man is not going to stand in the way of God. His purposes will be brought to pass. Now, not only do we have those kinds of things, those in the church, those in the ministry even, the Apostle John in his epistles speaks about Antichrist. Okay? And there does seem to be, according to what the scriptures teach, there does seem to be that there's going to be some personality that's going to arise at some point at the end of time. Okay? But you know what? The more I continue to remember that his purposes are going to be accomplished, that he has overcome the world, that we don't have to worry about that. If we're focused on serving the Lord, if we're focused on reading his word, if we're focused on trying to do the best we can to serve the Lord and to stay close to the Lord, we don't have to worry about this personality. But let me tell you something that I am concerned about. Not only does John speak about the Antichrist, he speaks about a spirit of Antichrist. And I'm going to turn, I know the time's getting away here, but let me turn to 1 John, not the Gospel according to John, but 1 John chapter 4. And this is probably a bigger subject that I need to try to tap into for the short time that we have, but 1 John chapter 4. My whole burden of my heart this morning is to encourage you that no matter what we're facing in this world, God's purposes will stand. That he will accomplish what he's purposed to do. All right? So in 1 John chapter 4, I'm not so much concerned about that Antichrist that will show up at the end of time, but it does bother me that the spirit of Antichrist is alive and well in our culture today. Antichrist, against Christ. Okay? John says this, 1 John chapter 4, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist." Do you know anybody that denies that Jesus was actually God in the flesh? There's a whole lot of folks that we refer to as Muslim who are in the religion of Islam. They think Jesus was a prophet, but they do not accept the fact that he was the Son of God. They don't accept the fact that he's God. Well, bless your hearts, that's absolutely contrary to what the scriptures teach. Scriptures teach he is God. He is the Son of God. He is God manifest in the flesh. And so anything that you encounter, any teaching that you encounter in this world that denies that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, that he came into this world according to the purpose of God to save his people from their sins, anything contrary to that is the spirit of Antichrist. And so we need to be mindful of that. All right? As a matter of fact, go back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. 1 John 2, 22. That ought to be easy to remember, by the way. 1 John 2, 2, 2. "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Savior, the Messiah? Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father." Because those two are one, by the way. Right? "But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also." That spirit manifests itself in a lot of ways in our culture today. That spirit that denies God, it's alive and well in our culture today. There's just, for decades now, I can't say for how long because it's been around a long time, but there's been a concerted effort to try to destroy the family unit in this country. That's what the Word of God teaches. All right? Just like you heard from Brother Kenneth this morning about fathers and the godly influence that they're to have over their family. But there's been a concerted effort in our culture to change that, to dismantle that, to get that Christian influence out of our culture so that they can move on and do what they want to do. Right? So you've got all these things about evolution. Well, what's so wrong about evolution? Because it denies that God is the creator. Okay? It's denying God and his word. Okay? Alternate lifestyles? Oh, that ought to be acceptable. Not according to the word of God. You see, you go through a long list of things, and the more acquainted we are with the word of God and the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, then when you're exposed to these errors in the world, then you can see the spirit of Antichrist at work. You can see those things that are opposing God and trying to influence us. Brother Kenneth was talking about how that we ought to have a good influence over our families. But how many times does the world have its influence upon us? You know, Romans chapter 12, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That word picture there for that, be not conformed to this world, is like, don't be squeezed into its mold. It wants to change you from what this word says we ought to be. We need this word so that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. All right? So as we think about this spirit that's in the world, Satan is still on the prowl. Satan is still working in whoever he can to try to hinder God's people and try to thwart the purposes of God. But bless your hearts, he will not succeed. He's already a defeated enemy. The Lord Jesus Christ has already saved his people by shedding his precious blood. It's not waiting for somebody else to finish the work. He finished the work of redemption for us. We can rest in him. We can rejoice in him. We can rejoice in the fact that he has power over all flesh. And so as we face all these things that's going on in this world, may God help us to flee to him and remember that he has power, that we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. If we're seeking to do his will, if we're seeking to accomplish something for his glory, and if it's consistent with the will of God, then bless your hearts, we can do whatever he puts upon our heart. If it's for his glory. Whatsoever we ask according to his will, John says, he heareth us. Oh, as we think about what we have to face in this life. So, we need to be careful about how the world is influencing us and how this spirit of Antichrist that's going around. All right? So, there's plenty of things that God has given us in his word. And I don't have time. I just have to touch on a few. But I can point you in that direction. And I know you can think of a lot of others. All right? But God has shown us in his word. Primarily because he sent his son. His son accomplished what he sent him to do. He arose from the dead. As death could not hold him. And the Father received him back into glory as the greatest evidence we have that he accomplished what he was sent to do. All right? So we can rejoice in that, can't we? We can remember his goodness, his mercy, his power, his glory, his love and provisions for us, and that we're being kept by his power. 2 Timothy 2:19 tells us, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. What God has purposed, he's able to perform. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. That's not all that verse says, is it? The last part of that verse says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Oh, may God help us as we rejoice and receive comfort in what he has promised to us. May God help us to draw nigh to him and follow him in those paths of righteousness, that we can stay close to him, that we can feel his presence, that we can know that he is with us in all we face in this world. Romans chapter 8 speaks about how that, well, there's so much in that chapter, but those glorious things where he says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate, and whom he predestinated, them he also called, and whom he called, and whom he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Isn't that wonderful that God has done that for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? But then you get to the end of that chapter and he speaks of our security in all of that. He said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor life nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what we have to face, no matter all the craziness that's going on in the world, no matter how industrious Satan still is trying to do what he can, he's only got a short time. He's already defeated, but he sure is still a menace, isn't he? He's like a dog on a chain. And if you stay away from that chain, you'll do well. But if you get within the length of that chain, you're going to suffer for it. All right? How about John 14? Let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. So there's coming a time when all the things that trouble us in this life are going to be over. There's coming a time when he'll come again and receive us unto himself. Why? That where I am, he says, there ye may be also. You know, every time I think about that, every time I think about the loved ones that we've known in this life that have gone on before us. And I've said this many times, but you know, heaven can't be any sweeter than it is. Heaven can't be any better than it is. But when our dear ones pass this life and go home to be with the Lord, it gets a little sweeter to us, doesn't it? In our heart and in our mind, we know it's a little sweeter. Maybe a lot sweeter in our mind. Okay, we know it can't be any better, but to us it is. Well, bless your hearts. Jesus said he's coming back to get us so that where he is, there we may be also. Does that encourage you against the trials of this life? Does that encourage you to realize that whatever's going on in this world, we're going to have tribulation, but we can be of good cheer. Jesus said, I've overcome the world, and we know that at some point he's coming back to get his own. Now, if we come to our end before he comes back, then as soon as we breathe out our last here, we'll awake in his presence in spirit and soul. I say these things to encourage us, stir up your mind, remind you, to encourage you. No matter what Satan is doing in this world, no matter how many inroads he may have gained in various places, whether it be in a family, whether it be in a church, whether it be in government, wherever it might be, no matter what he's accomplished, he will never thwart the purposes of God. Because God says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. May God bless you, is our prayer. Amen.